Our last Chaburah Hilchos B'Shalakim. What better focus could we have than one of the most famous foods? Mamash, multiple sugyas of herring. That is, multiple issues that flow in the closing Se'ifim. We had seen Se'if Tes Zayin earlier together with Se'ifim Gimel and Dalet. So we're going to close this evening with the remaining last four Se'ifim, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tes Vav. Se'ifim that flow predominantly from the discussions that the Gemara has both on Lamechesa Rav and Lamechesa Beis about salted fish. Gemara Lamechesa Rav and the Gemara Lamechesa Beis, and we'll see we showed him bringing the Mishnah Lamechesa Beis as well. The Gemara says Lamechesa Rav, this takes us back to near the beginning of the discussion, right after the Gemara laid out the two main conditions for food to be Bishul Akam susceptible, Surah and Pumpatisa, Asminecha Kmo Shulchai, and it has to, Eonecha Kmo Shulchai, and Ola Al Shulchan Malachim. You only have Bishul Akam if the pre-Bishul state was inedible, on the one hand, and on the other hand, post-Bishul, not only is it edible, but it's socially significant, Ola Al Shulchan Malachim, only if we pass only with the combination of those two conditions, do you have a Bishul Akam susceptible food. Right after that, the Gemara had moved to talking about Dagen Ketana Meluchim, small salted fish. Haggadah she actually talks about herring in particular. Small salted fish, no problem of Bishul Akam. If, as Yosef goes on to say, if the Nachri does roast that does grill it, so it's kosher, because you just said there's no Bishul Akam problem. If it's already a small salted fish, then Nachri takes herring, Nachri takes salted herring, and he proceeds to grill salted herring. Not sure if this, never heard of this delicacy. Grilled salted herring is kosher, even though the Nachri did it tzliya, but that's what you said. That's an example of something which is not Bishul Akam susceptible. So that's kosher, and you can even rely on it for the Erev Tavshilin, so on and so forth. Okay. So that's what the Gemara says. You have small salted fish. They're not Bishul Akam susceptible. Nachri goes on to grill them. It's going to be fine. The question is, Tosvos, Tosis raises two questions. Tosis raises two questions. These two sort of bring us to the two major issues that flow from this. Why is it that the Nachri took jarred herring and he grilled it that it's kosher? So why is it kosher? I mean, it's assuming that's a delicacy, so so isn't that the Ola Shulchan Malachim? So the answer is, as Rashi tells us, well, it's Nechal Kamo Shul Chai. It's not Chai. Rashi says, the last Rashi in Lamechesim, on the wide lines, the top of Lamechesim Ralph, Meluchim Nechal Kamo Shein Machmas Milchim. They're not exactly Nechal Kamo Shul Chai, but Nechal Kamo Shuhu Machmas Milchim. It was already salted, so the raw herring is not edible, but salted herring is edible. It was edible, Machmas Milchim, based on the salt alone. So the Nachri goes on, even if somehow the subsequent grilling or frying makes it more of a delicacy, it's irrelevant. It was Nechal Kamo Shuhu Chai, it was Nechal Kamo Shuhu Machmas Milcho, so that's not an issue. It's already not an issue. So this raises, this Gemara raises two interesting questions. One question is what's considered Nechal Kamo Shuhu Chai? Okay, so here we're saying this is a Rekhsid Nachakom Shulchai. The Gemara on Lamed Chesed and Beis seems to wonder about that. We'll get to that. Tosfos points out Lamed Chesed and Beis, the Gemara seems to reopen the question of Dag Maliach. It seems like the big machlokas whether Dag Maliach is Bishlachim susceptible or not. So the question of what's considered Nachakom Shulchai is one of the issues that recurs here. The other issue that rises here is who salted this fish? Da'akim katan meluchim, ein b'mishum b'shulei akum. Who salted the fish? Who salted it? It doesn't matter. So that's what also seems to rise to the fore. In this, if you come to the sugya in Lamed Chesed and Beis, let's take a look at the parallel conversation. Lamed Chesed and Beis, here we're picking up where we left off a week or two ago. Over the last couple of weeks, we were focused on the center of the sugya, the issues of Jewish participation, the Jew and non-Jew participating together, and then the last chabur that led us, Sifyut Aleph, to the discussion of Safek as well. So that now we pick up where we left off over there, Lamed Ches Amid Beis, around 15 lines down or so from the top of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The line begins, Dag Maliach, the salted fish. Sounds similar. Chizkiah Shari B'Yochanan Aser. Chizkiah says, Dag Maliach is Mutter, not a Bishul Akum problem. Yochanan says it's Aser. Beitz Tzeluya, a broiled, a grilled or broiled egg. Bar Kapara Shari Rabbi Yochanan Asar. So both cases Rabbi Yochanan says the Dag Malach is a Bishul Akum problem, the broiled egg is a Bishul Akum problem, and some other Amor disagrees, either it's Chizki or Bar Kapara. So initially it seems like it's a one-to-one. It's an interesting question. Machlokas, is there Bishul Akum Dag Malach, is there Bishul Akum on Beitza Tzeluya? Then the Gemara goes on to say that was the first version, that each machlok is a one-to-one. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. Yes, Rav Dimi, these Amoraim are Amoroi Eretz Yisrael. So the Talmid HaChacham in Bavel knew of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael based on the Talmid Rav Yochanan, who traveled back and forth, Rav Arachana, Rav Dimi, and others. So when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said that that's an incorrect transmission of the machlokas. It's not that in each case Rabbi Yochanan holds his asar and one amor says mutter. No. Echad dag maliach ve'echad beitzat tzeluya. Here we are in Lamed Ches Amin Beis, around 15-20 lines down. Echad dag maliach ve'echad beitzat tzeluya. Chizke bar kapara sharu, Rabbi Yochanan asar. It's a single machlokes and it's a two-on-one. So the Rov are Mekel and Rabbi Yochanan says asar. So it sounds like both of them should be mutter, and the Gemara has a very violent story. You didn't realize that Bishul Akum gets so violent. This is, wow, Jewish terrorism. Take a look. Chia Parva, Ikul Veirish Galusim. Chia Parva, when later Amaron travels to the home of the Reish Galusa. Amrulay, the Reish Galusa was a political leader of the Jews. Reish Galusa leader is Rosh HaGolah. He was a political leader of the Jews in Bavel. He was a political leader of the Jews within the Persian Empire. And what you see from over the course of the stories that are told by the Reish Galusa and the Reish Galusa's staff, over the course of the Talmud Bavli, again, that spans centuries, there are different people who held this position over the course of time. Some of the Reish Galusa were very devout religious people. And the one who was a contemporary of Rav Nachman was very close to Rav Nachman, and wanted Rav Nachman to oversee the halachic observance of his home. Some of the other Reish Galusa were not such observant people. Some of their staff were downright nasty people, as we see in this story. So Chir Pava travels from Reish Galusa. So they say to him, "Beitz Tzluyamai, what's a din with a?" A broiled egg. I mean, Nachri broils an egg. So is that a Bishul Akum problem? Not a Bishul Akum problem. So Amar Lahu Chizkir Bar Kapara Shor B'Yochanan Aser. He tells them, as the same as Rav Dimi said, tells him to look to two on one. Two are machmer, one is mekel. Ein devarv shel echav makam shnayim. So we should follow the two. See, sorry, two are matir and one are asers. Only Rabbi Yochanan asers. Other two are mekel. So we should be mekel based on the rov. Right, that's where Rechir Parva said. Rav Zvid says to them, no, lo satzitzu le. Don't listen to Rechir Parva. Hacha amar Abaye, this is my tradition from Abaye. Hilchus kevizis to Yochanan. We should pass on Rav Yochanan le'esar. Ashkiyu naguta dechal v'nach nafshe. The people in the Reish Galus's staff were so upset that Rav Zvid had told them a chumrah, and they gave him some sort of vinegar-based drink, and they killed him. They poisoned him. A violent Bishalachim story. Okay, so one historical element here is, as I mentioned before, the Reish, what the moral halachic standing of Reish Galusa and his staff varied over the course of the period of Amoraim. In the days of Vichia Parva and Rav Zvid, obviously, was a shockingly low point. Now let's sort of back up and see, what does this tell us about the Dag Meliach and the Beit Tzluya? Again, on Lamech Chesnaf, we said before Lamech Chesnaf, we said, you have a Dag Meliach, Dag Matam Aluchim, the Nachri takes them and grills them, no problem. They're not Bishalachim susceptible. They are, as Rashi said, it's already Necho Machmas Milcho. The equivalent of Nachri Moshu Chai. Before the Nachri grilled the fish, it was already fully edible because it was... It was salted. We all eat salmon, herring all the time. It wasn't cooked. It was just salted. So it's totally, entirely edible. Nachri decides to take the salted herring and grill it. Doesn't pose a problem. Here on Lav Chesna Beis, the Yochanan said, Dakim Lechazasar. And the other Amoraim said, Mutter. So now it's a question. So how do these two, Tosas already raises the issue in Lav Chesnaf, how do these two fit together? Is Dag Meliach, is it Bishalachim susceptible? It's not Bishalachim susceptible. That's an interesting question. It's also a little difficult to figure out how do you paskin here. So it seems like the overall thrust of the Gemara is, on the one hand you have Ein Devar Shel Echav Makom Shnayim, the Rov Armata, and then this position, you have this tradition from Abaye that we should be Machmer like Rav Yochanan. Again, Rizvid ended up giving his life. He obviously didn't mean to, and so giving his life because he told them that Abaye's tradition of Abaye is hold like Rav Yochanan. So it's not clear how he paskin. And how does that fit with what was going on before?
It can be eaten raw if it were salted.
What do you mean?
Let's say he takes it out of the water and it's
right
in the grill.
Good. So Tosfos already raises the question that the Gemara Lav Chesnaf earlier had given Dagim Ketanim, Ardi, and Daisa as examples of foods that are Bishalachim. They may or may not be Bishalachim susceptible, depending on whether you accept both conditions or not. And we accept both conditions. We accept not only Nechach Kamo Shulchai, but also Shulchim Lachim. Dagim Ketanim don't count. So what does it matter? They're Meluchim. Stam Dagim Ketanim we raised it. The line before, he says, Mutav. So Tosi Rei says, well, it must be those are teeny tiny fish. Those are mamish, teeny tiny fish. They're, you have, I don't know, minnows or something. Those are totally, they have no social significance whatsoever. That's a Dvarim Shel Mabakach. You already have something that Tosa says, that the discussion about Dagim Ketanim Meluchim, they're mutar only because they're meluch, that's Gedolim Ketzas, a little bit large. And the Rishonim go, some Rishonim go on to say, and if they're really large, that's what we're just talking about. Lamech Chesna Beis. Lamech Chesna Malach, we're talking Dag Ketanim Meluchim. Here, Lamech Chesna Beis, Dag Meliach. But he didn't say small.
So maybe, maybe that's what one approach. No, that's what appears in the Shulchan Aruch. If they're small fish, you have herring, salt herring. But now it's fully edible. You take a tuna and you salt it. That's not necessarily going to be fully edible merely because of the salting. It's still going to need something more. That's the way it appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch.
So if you base
Dabim Kitan Hashem Malach and Yisrael, O Akum, you have a small fish that were salted by a Jew or a Nachri. We'll get back to that angle with the Nachri salting in a moment. That's already Nisbashel Mitzvah's Bishel. That's already like it's cooked. It's no longer raw. It's Salon Akum Achaka in Mutter. It's already edible. Nachum Amachos Milcha. So the Nachri subsequently grills them, that grill in Israel. But Dadan Meluchim Gedolim, if it's a large salted fish, that's what's going on here on Lam Chesan Beis. Einam Ne'achalim Elai De'etchak. That's only edible when you're stuck. That's not the normal way to eat. If it's a big fish, you're probably going to want to beat sola it afterwards, even after the salting. So that's salon akum asur. If a nachri, were to salt that, to fry that, that would be asur. That would be asur. And the Ramah goes on to say, v'chein kol davar shenechal chai. Anything which is barely edible raw, and the Nachri cooks it, dino kik dagim gedolim. Dino kik dagim gedolim. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch goes on to quote the Seif in Yudalid and Tezvav. That's the story with the Beitza. A Beitza, Seif Yudalid, afa pishiru uyulu doma chaya in bishla akum asura. You have an egg. Well, what was the whole discussion with the egg? Why was there a machlokas whether a broiled egg is bishla akum problem or not? Eggs are inedible raw. We don't eat raw eggs. So it's ein achakum ashuchai. If it's a presentable, it's all shochem lachem. So why was it a machlokas amaran? It should be pasha that the beitza should be aser. So now the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that it is indeed aser, and that's based on what Rav Zvid gave his life for. Even though it's chizk, even though it's Yochan against two of them run, but Abaye, who was a basra, Abaye later Amor had passed like Yochan. But what was the issue? See, here was the issue. The issue was ruuyu l'gal machay. If you need to, you can eat an egg raw. It's nechal al de etchak. Yes, eggnog. It's nechal al de etchak. And that's what Shulchan goes on to say, Sif Tezvav also, based on a Gemara later on the Yomar. Tamarim hamarim kitsas. Gemara says if you have the sweet dates and you decide to boil them, so that's nechal chai. Bake apples, you boil sweet dates, it's not a bishul akum problem. If you have dates that are really bitter, a strain of dates that need to be boiled in order to be edible, it is a bishul akum problem. How about tamar hamarim kitzas? The Gemara goes on to say, later on Lamed Chesed Beis, they're sort of in between, not absolutely horribly bitter, but they're not really edible as is. So the nechal, they will only be edible raw if you're really stuck. In bishlam akum asur. So if a nachri cooks them, that is a problem. See, you have sif yudbeis, sif yudalit, sif tezvav, all lined up. That here, going back to the original, again going back to the original discussion, nechal kmo shuchai al shulchan lachem. So in the added point, where you draw the line to Nechal Kmo Shuchai, has to be really Nechal Kmo Shuchai. If you're just sort of on an emergency basis, Nechal Kmo Shuchai, if you're stuck, that's not sufficient. That may have been the Machlokas Amaran here. And we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan, that Nechal Kmo Shuchai has to be really Nechal Kmo Shuchai. Poskim do discuss what does Aydeh Adchak mean? It sounds qualitative. It sounds like you wouldn't eat it in normal circumstances. You eat it, if you're really stuck with no other food, you would manage to scarf it down. And many poskim can assume it's actually a quantitative discussion. It's a question of,
Echad Echak means a myriad of people eat it raw, but most people don't. That definition
that's
by the numbers. To understand it's by the numbers, so that's raising an interesting question about sushi. I think we had touched on.
That's
the fact, the other dog angle. Well, we'll come back to the sugya of dagim, but nowadays people eat raw fish. People eat raw salmon. People eat raw tuna.
So they don't eat it by itself, do they? It's all mixed in with other things.
Ah, okay. So different people said. What? Right, yeah, yesh. Sashimi. Sushi usually is a little bit of raw fish encased in seaweed and rice and what have you. But sashimi is a slice of, or a slab.
However,
of raw fish.
Right,
so there are, there has been some literature in posting. Maybe we should, just as we see, we did opening Chabura, we said that this is Talib al-Samakal al-Sazman, as the Rambam makes clear. As he said, that's why the status is, mushrooms has changed over time. The principles of halacha haven't changed, but the facts on the ground, are mushrooms socially significant? Are mushrooms edible raw? That changed. Carrots have changed. 150 years ago, certain Eastern European Jews would never have eaten raw carrots for the rabbits. Human beings ate the tzimmes. Nowadays, raw carrots are much more popular in our society than the tzimmes. So 150 years ago, carrots posed a bishlaka problem. Nowadays, they don't. 50 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, cranberries posed a bishlaka problem. This week, I saw raw cranberries in the... farmers markets in season now, briefly in season. Those who enjoy raw cranberries, now is the time when you buy, stack up in the bags and put them in the freezer. Raw cranberries are incredibly tart. So up until a couple of decades ago, the only way to make cranberries edible for most people, the only way to get enough sugar to adhere to it was to boil it, a lot of sugar. So it used to be, it was not nechal chai. Once they worked out the technology for craisins, and now it is nechal. There are ways of getting the sugar to adhere to it without the boiling. So the question is, maybe we should say the same about sushi. Okay, so 50 years ago, people didn't eat raw fish, and now we do. But here's the question, yeah? What do you say?
Not all raw tuna is created equal. In other words, taken from the industry, I think there is specific sushi,
yellowfin versus skipjack versus albacore.
Irrespective of, to buy raw tuna in the supermarket as opposed to getting raw tuna being served as sushi,
so right now I'm kind of,
I believe that the entire processing is different. It's like fresh, it's like they freeze it immediately.
I googled it actually.
Take my
the whole idea of like sushi grade
within the year,
it's kind of like a marketing thing, but all you have to do is freeze it at a little temperature.
I can sell it 6 months later.
To kill the parasites.
6 months later,
that's the concern.
I give you the cash back.
So if you freeze it at like -30,
I pay back my lung.
That kills.
And you kill the parasites without having to apply heat.
What?
Without having to apply
heat. So what were you saying before?
Again, most of the times the sushi, they usually do it on the boat itself.
Right.
So that's an
interesting question. So let's think about this in two levels.
I wouldn't walk, walk the shelf in the fish market. I don't necessarily eat it,
right?
So you're saying there's a process that it needs, not cooking, not frying, not grilling, but there's a process. If I did this process, so then I would be willing to eat it raw, otherwise not. So that's the truth. That's the way the Gemara presented on Lama Chesam Rav, Dagim Tam Meluchim. The fact that if it underwent that process of Melicha, it's Necha Kamoshu Machlas Milcho, so then subsequent grilling won't Aser. If it did not undergo Melicha, so then the subsequent grilling would Aser. So if there is some process that you need, the flash freezing, whatever is being done, that would make people comfortable eating it raw without that process, not, so then the only time, if that's the case, and then the only time that I can turn around and say, well, it's necha k'mo shuchai, is if it had that other process done.
That's the havam.
Remember, I lost my chance. You can only do it for raisins. You can't do it for regular crackers.
Right. To me, you can always
only if it's only if it's dried out with the sugar attached. That's the only time I can cook it. Why am I allowed to? If it's over O,
you know what I'm saying? I don't see that as a viable.
Not sure.
Even like seared.
Question.
No, but no. So
kind of like seared cheese.
Is by that even? I'm close to being back on side. By like Valentine's.
The whole thing's basically
right?
Raw.
I didn't
the only cook like right, the edge of it. Right. Inside is completely raw, and that's like probably the most like fanciest kind of tuna they serve.
A court order saying that
you can take an asset of money that's worth $500.
If you have money, I can come take.
That's like an asset that's worth $500.
Right. You don't have that.
More than even
right. No, that's what, no, no, saying is I was asking for about the herring. I was asking, is it so clear that you have to, that it has to be salted and then grilled, or once it's an echal salted, then you can go back to
the yard and grill it.
That's how you understand
the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch seems to go in
common sense. Okay, that's the second one. So let's take that doctrine.
Forced to go down that way.
You have no money.
Or no asset.
But
you have an outstanding that if I get an asset, you'll come and take that.
Right. Right. So
no matter what, it's fine.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's fine. So that's
my question is.
It was only if it's Salon Acharkan.
Right.
So if it's Salon Acharkan, then it's my
turn. He possibly was like you're saying, but I don't know why you need that.
And there's no hot
bar and how that follows through and all the other.
What I'm saying, so we had said beforehand, that if you paid it back, you would have gotten
beets.
It, right?
I say beets.
So now
so beets
we're changing
can be
the contract
or
from that document to a different document. This is a document. This
so
is a document.
So let's say I could
right,
either pay
it right. So
without any further wrap.
No problem.
So does that mean now because it could eat pickles?
So what I'm saying
therefore
is,
I can,
if it's collecting documents,
you can
grill
it.
Pickles
is saying
once
a way to eat it
without
then it falls into the
category.
Right. Yeah. Through right. What you see from the way we showed him read Lamechesem Alf, right, is that it has to be nechal. It has to have the nechal in the state that it was right before the nachri is bishul.
Go to Bezin, prove it. Whatever. I mean.
Right. The fact that I could have done something else instead doesn't render it nechal k'mo shulchai.
When Robin now
it's a kasha, it's a technical good kasha. You have to go look back at the tshuva.
And he's talking about both
right.
of them.
Because Lamaisa, right, they're not boiling craisins, they're boiling raw cranberries.
That's a given already. No?
I don't know. Okay, we gotta look into that. Let's talk an interesting question.
No, he's
I'm not sure. Now the sushi, though,
right,
here's another angle.
The
number one is saying to say that to be matir, you know, tzlias nachri, bishul nachri on tuna because tuna is nechal k'mo shulchai again. That's l'chara only if he fried.
But if you paid me
sushi grade, whatever sushi grade is, but if there is a process that you need to kill the parasites. And I would not have
eaten the part.
I don't think so. Number one. Number two, the question is not a question of the min. It's a question of there's a process needs to be done. But here's the other angle. Number two is the issue of nechal idea tchak. And this is sort of an open question. I know that there's a consensus among poskim. Is it really clear that even sushi grade fish is it anything more than nechal chayde? If you understand nechal chayde at chak, again, as I said before, which I think is most people can understand not to be emergency, literally, but it's a question of there's a minority who eat it like chay, but the majority don't. So you got to take a look at what the stats are in terms of sushi. Yes, there is a you know. There's a market for sushi. Do most people eat sushi? Especially question, also question of granularity. I think we have, huh? Yeah, that's a question of granularity. Yeah, that's a question of granularity.
Right.
Like, number, do you look at specifically Jewish styles of eating, and what's your medina?
Yeah, if you talk, if you look at like the age of under, I would say if you look at like under age of 50 or under, you would probably see a very large majority
could have paid
sushi.
Yeah, well, where? In New York City and San Francisco, or in the United States of America?
What I'm saying is, we're taking steps.
I think in the United States of America,
wait a second,
the age under.
Would you have gotten the document?
You would say a very large majority of them eat sushi.
I wonder.
I mean, it's served in like almost every cafeteria in
the dish as a proof.
Yes.
Every kosher cafeteria has
different type of fish. Every kosher cafeteria, how many people are eating the fish?
We already checked out and we know there's nothing there.
How many people are eating the fish sushi as opposed to the avocado and the cucumbers?
Right?
Yeah. The kids are all over.
Yeah.
Okay, so you gotta look. The numbers may change. The numbers can change over time. The numbers can change over time. But I want to circle back. So it was one issue is this Nechai de Atzak. But the major issue that emerges.
What about the swear that maybe if you would have collected, if you would have paid it,
it would
have
been
salted. At this point, why don't you just say, hey, don't be chutzpah.
The major issue that emerges from the. From the Dag Maliach conversation is not the question of Nechal Aliday Hadchak, which is see from Yudbeis Yudal and Tezvav, but the discussion which Shachar quotes in Sif Yud Gimel, which is you take a look at Rashi. It's an interesting machlokas, how to read, how to interpret Dag Maliach.
I think what Rosera was trying to say.
The sugya on Lamed Chesnam Beis. Dag Maliach Rashi in the second line, Lamed Chesnam Beis says, Dag Maliach, what does it mean, salt fish? Shemalacha ha'akum. The Nachri salted the fish. Uvemelicha sohu necha b'lo bishol. And it's edible as is without any bishol. Rav Yochan says, that's aser. And Chizki of Akapar say, that's mutter. In other words, according to Rashi, and the Rambam says the same thing. You look at the Rambam, that's what he says. You look in the Chacham Yisrael, they point out, the Rambam, the Rav Rashi, and others point out, the Rambam agrees with Rashi. Machlokas Amoram is, does Melichas Ha'akum make food treif or not? Is Melichas Akum included in Bishul Akum, or is it not included in Bishul Akum? I asked you before, when we were reading the Gemara on Chesam Aleph, Dagmatam Meluchim, Meluchim Ayidei, whom? Who did the Melicha? So Rashi understands, Melicha Sa'akum, that's a machlokas Amoram. The Mishnah had told us that if the Nachri was Mevashel, that's us, right? Mishnah said Shlokos, our original Mishnah. Where was it? Lamed Hem Beis, where it all began. The Rashi points out that Bishul is a Mishnah, and then Sali grilling was that was a Brisa. Maniach Yisrael Basra Gabi Gechalim. Cooking and broiling, those are clearly included in Bishul Akum. How about salting? So Rashi says that is the machlokas Amoraim. Rashi says that, the Rambam says that.
Okay.
But then we show him disagree. Many Rishonim disagree. The Rashba says Raiva disagrees. The Rashba and Taras Abaye says my Rebbe the Ramban disagreed. Says my Rebbe the Ramban pointed out that Rashi and the Rambam are against the Mishnah. How can you say it's a machlokas Amoraim whether Melicha Sa'akum is included in Bishul Akum or not? It's a Beferish Mishnah. It's Mutter. Where is the Beferish Mishnah? So he says. Look at the next Mishnah, Lama Tesla and Beis. Remember we said when we got started, weeks, months ago, we said that we're focusing on the second in a series of three Mishnahs at the end of Perek Beis of... Masachas of Ozar.
We were focused
on the Mishnah Lamehem Beis, which had all the cases which are Mutter Bahanaba Asr Bachil. The first Mishnah, I believe, was back in Chavkes, perhaps, had the items that you might get by from an Achri, which are even Asr Bahana. Those are all Avodah Zara related items. That's why they're Asr Bahana. That was back where? That was, yeah, Chavtes on the base. Elu Devarim Shal Ov Dekachavim Asurin V'Isurin Isra Hana. That was list number one. The Asurin Bahana, those are Avodah Zara items. You have buy a skin that's cut in a particular way. Different items that seem to have emerged from a church from other Avodah Zara practice. There were the objects of Avodah Zara, there were tools for Avodah Zara, to Asr Bahana. Then we had Lamed Heim days, where Mutter Bahana Asr Bachila. So it's not Avodah Zara issue, but Asr Mishum Chasnas or Asr Mishum non kosher ingredients. And then you have the third of the three Mishnayos, and Lamed Tesim days. Elu Mutarin Bachila. Here are items which aren't even Asr Bachila at all. So milk that was milked properly with proper Hashkacha, not Chalavah. And so on and so forth.
That's what he said.
Sorry, honey. Honey, we're not worried about non-kosher ingredients, and we're not worried about bishalakum, the lens of the bishalakum. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, kivashim, lamatesan beis, she'ein darkon laseis losochan yayin v'chomotim. You have items which are pickled, whose recipe doesn't typically include wine or wine vinegar. Lamatesan beis, one of the items which was Asur Bachila was Kavashim. Shadarkan Lassus Lassachon Yain Bachamats. You have to know what the common recipes are. And this is, again, this is where it mentions the topic of Kufya Dalad, is which items require Hashkach and which don't. When are you not worried about non kosher ingredients? What was the extra virgin olive oil and unflavored coffee of once upon a time? So the Mishnah says, look, they knew telling the Metzias. At the time, we knew there were certain types of pickled items that sometimes they would use wine or vinegar in the recipe. That's a problem. And then there were other items. Here you have lamatesan beis, those types of foods where it typically did not use wine in the pickling recipe. So then there's no iser if you're confident that all the ingredients are kosher. You can buy for the Nachri and eat it. Says the Ramban, 1 second. Mainly you took care of the issue of non-kosher ingredients. But it's kavosh. It's pickled. The Nachri pickled it. Maliach kiroseach, kavosh kemavushal. Says, why aren't you wearing the Nachri pickling it? So you see that kavishas akum, lichas akum, is obviously mutter. It's a Mishnah. No Amora could have disputed it. So the Raiva, the Ramban, the Rajba, the Ran, they say we have to give a different interpretation to the Gemara of Dag Moliach. Rashi in the Rambam had said, yeah, whether salting, whether Melicha Sa'akim is Asr Mutta Machlok is Amaroim. And the other Rishonim say, no, we're going to have to interpret it differently. We're going to have to interpret it the way we did before, which is that this isn't talking about the Nachri salted it. This is talking about the Nachri took a salted fish and grilled it. And that was the issue. That's how we explained before. That's Tosad said. I, but Lam Chesam Alf, who said, Dag Mutam Uchim Mutter. No, subsequently it doesn't create a problem. Here he's saying maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. He said, well, depends. How big is the fish? Small fish, big fish. Depends.
The star is still in my hands.
And that's what the loaf is claiming.
Yes.
That's
yes. Exactly. Red fish, blue fish. So let's just back up. So now what emerges halacha l'maisa? What emerges halacha l'maisa? In terms of the issue of other types of food prep.
But even so, the Ramban and the Raiva according to the Rashba still say if there wasn't the roasting, the grilling part, it would have been okay.
Right.
So they still agree. Good. In that they just disagree about the Matisse and the Gemara. But they still agree that the Dag Moliach is a perfectly fine edible.
You're 90% correct.
The question is,
I mean, you are correct that Rashi, Rashi, and the Rambam might well agree la halacha. Rambam does agree la halacha with with the Ramban, the Rashba. They seem to all agree halacha l'maisa that melichas ha'akum doesn't make treif. That the non-Jew salted it, that doesn't make treif. The Ramban, the Ravid, the Rashba, the Ran, they thought that's a davar pasha. The Mishnah says that melichas ha'akum, the kevishas ha'akum, that is not included in bishul ha'akum. Whereas Rashi Ramban thought the machlokas amaron. Kolter Ramban, how do we paskin? So the Ramban paskins machlokas amaron. And we paskin mutter. The Hagamos Ashri though says the Rashbam said
you come back tomorrow with a contract. I'll give you $500.
If a non-Jew makes herring that salts herring, that's treif. Okay. If a non-Jew salts lox, the Rashbam says that's treif. Why? Because he's learning like his grandfather Rashi, that was a machlokes Avraham. As you said before, it's a little unclear what's the maskana, right? The Gemara had come, seems to have come to the conclusion that although it's a two against one, the Rov or Mekel, Abaye said that we pass in like a Yechon, the Beitz of Tzaluya is Aser. Remember, Zvidge ended up losing his life tragically and bizarrely over that. Is that only Beitz of Tzaluya? Or how about Dag Maliyah? So the Rashbam said, look, the Gemara made seem like it's all one big machlekes. Two separate issues. It sounds like it's all stacked. So the Rashbam, so you have three opinions. The way it falls out, you have three opinions.
The answer is one, is the Rashbam answer the problem of the Rashbam? Or
that about the lender had it,
because he was his Rebbe, and the two against one. So let me finish sentence. So the Ramban, the Raiva, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, they say, everyone agrees that Melicha, Kavisha, they don't make trip. They don't create a Bishlakim problem. Rashi, the Rambam say, it was the Machlokas Amaram. How you Paschal is a good question. So Rambam says, the Machlokas Amaram by Paschal Lachal. The Rashbam says, Machlokas Amaram, I Paschal Lachamir. In terms of the question of, but didn't the Ramban have a watertight raya? After all, Kavisha, Mishra said Betherish, Kavashin, Shane Dakin lost the Sochi Yayim Chomet. So let me raise two issues. You might have asked one question, and we'll explain why it's not a question, and then I'll explain to you what the actual pushback is. You might have wondered, Ramban's making an interesting leap there. The Mishnah says, kavashim, pickled. How does he get to Maliach? Well, what does one have to do with the other? So the answer to that, for those who remember their Bas B'chalav, is reaching back to the world of Tom Kicker, we had discussed the fact that that flavor can be transferred through heat or through other methods. Over the course of learning Bas B'chalav, specifically Simam Sari Aleph and Sari Vav, we had seen that, yes, while the primary method, the primary force of Tom transfer is heat, there are probably three or four other independent methods of Tom transfer that are Bliya Betzonin. The two most popular ones are Kavush Kemavushal and Maliach Kerosech. If you have a 24-hour soak in liquid, or even shorter poskim rite, if it's a sharp liquid, or if you even without liquid, if you salt a kosher and non-kosher food together, or there's contact between a kosher, salted non-kosher and a kosher food, so kavush or maliach can cause tam transfer without any heat. So that's why the Ramban is assuming that there's an equivalence. We do, to an extent, see kavush and maliach in certain cases as the equivalent of cooking. We see that as equivalent to cooking in the context of Tom Kicker. We see Kavush as equivalent of cooking in other areas too. Now, if it comes to Masecha Sukkah, the Dalad Minim typically aren't kosher if they were cooked, nor if they were soaked. Maror is not kosher for the mitzvah in Pesachim if it's cooked, nor if it was Kavush. So a post can write, if you're going to soak your lettuce to remove the bugs, you do have to make sure that's bug-free. And the same thing, you also have to make sure that you don't overdo the process so much that your maror becomes kavush. It's still soaking in water. it's a question of 24 hours. Who's leaving their lettuce unless you really got distracted? If the lettuce soaked for 24 hours, it's kavush, it's the apostle. If you soak in vinegar, post can point out, so then it could be 18 minutes, you're already in trouble. So that's why you got to be careful how you soak. You make sure to soak it thoroughly enough to remove all bugs, but not so thoroughly that that's now kosher from a kashrus perspective, but no longer valid for the mitzvah drabban of mar. 18-minute mar, there you go. There you go. The first 18-minute mar, it's the first round of the day. So Lamasa, so in terms of understanding the Ramban, so to say I'm going to poke a hole in the Ramban's equation because Mishatoh HaKavosh, here we're talking about Liach, no, we understand well the Ramban's the equivalency, the equation the Ramban is drawing. If Kavosh Kemavushal is not relevant to Bishalakim, presumably neither is Maliach Kerosayach. The way the Rishonim explain, what would Rashi say? So what they say, I think the Ran points is out, Rashi would say, in a Hanami, maybe the Mishnah also mentioned honey. That Mishnah Lamatai said honey is not a Bishalakim problem. Why? Well, we're not worried about non. At least you have to find that it's still true for modern food technology with honey. But in antiquity, there was no concern of non kosher ingredients in the honey. I bala Bishalakim. So the answer is well, it's not Davash is not a Bishalakim problem because it's Nachal Kamoshu Uchai. There's an internal Bishalakim consideration to explain why it's mutter. So that's what Rishonim say. Rashi might say, we talk about the Kavashim in the Hanami. We talk about Hachamayaskinan. That's not a Bishalakim problem. Not because. Ramban was assuming it's never a Bishalakim problem because of Kavash. Rashi could say, that at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, in the Hanami. If you pickle an apple, if you pickle a tomato, if you pickle a cucumber, so pickled cucumbers are not bishalak, not a kavishas akum problem because you can eat cucumbers raw. But Dr. Benefit mentioned last time that apparently when you pickle tomatoes, they always use unripe tomatoes. In a chanami, Rabbi Yochanan would say, okay, if you pickle an unripe tomato and you made it edible through pickling, in a chanami, that is a problem. So the Ramban's raya may be making the leap of assuming to all kavashim. Maybe in a chanami, only talk about a scenario where either the food was edible without the pickling, or it's not olal shel halachim even after the pickling. But you are right, halacha lamasa, Rashbam, we do not pass like the Rashbam. We assume that melicha sa'akum is mutter. Whether it's the subject to machlokas amaron, or whether it's Rebbe Feirish and Mishnah, the rov rishonim assume, and that's what appears in Sif Yud Gimel, that while both cooking and broiling are aser, but dag shemelacha akum is mutter. Whether it's a Mishnah or a Machlokas Amram, we pass that melichas akum does not in and of itself make treif. The Shulchan Aruch, like the Rama, goes on to add another case. Smoking. Peiros sheishnan ad shechshiran lachila. You have, let's say, fruits which are not edible raw, but you made them edible through smoking. So that's also mutter. Where does that come from? That is not in the Bavli, that's the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Nedarim, the end of the sixth parak, I believe, has a long list of nafkaminas in should we say is meushan kemavushal, is meushan not kemavushal, in terms of neder, in terms of carbon pesach, a whole slew of nafkaminas, one of which is bishalakim. Yerushalmi ends with a teku, so at least for bishalakim, because suffik bishalakim were mekel, then meushan is eno kemavushal. This gives rise to a couple of interesting issues, and with this we close. With this we close tonight's Chabur, with this we close our limud of Bishalakim, and we'll move from here to Chazer. What does Ma'ushan, why is Ma'ushan not Kimavushal? Why is Ma'ushan not Kimavushal? So I think salmon, lox, is usually cold smoked. Poskim raised the issue, how about hot smoke? So cold smoking, so that sounds like it's the same as the issue of Kavush, the issue of Maliach. It's a method of food prep. You're taking inedible food and making it edible without heat. So I understand. How about hot smoking?
It's cold smoke.
Well, what's cold smoke? So obviously, our channel says when smoke. Obviously, it started hot. Smoke comes from fire. So we don't mean adding flame. We mean actual smoking. What's cold smoking? What's hot smoking? So when you create the smoke, it's hot. But the question is, how tall is your smoker? So you can have a tall smoker, where by the time the smoke wafts up to the salmon, It's Andrei Yasselin's boat. The smoke has gotten cold, and it's curing the salmon. It's similar to salting. It's the acridity of the smoke that's curing the salmon. If you have a little backyard smoker that's 2-3 feet tall, and you're smoking your brisket, that's hot smoking. When the smoke hits the brisket, it is well over Yatzalatus boat. So that's a machlokas haposkim, is hot smoking also mutter. For nachri, you have a nachri operating your smoker and making hot smoking brisket. So obviously you have to make sure you have enough hashgacha that the meat is kosher, but do you need to have a Jew light the fire? Or the nachri could totally operate the smoker because, it says, if you're gimel, based on mechaber, based on the Rambam, based on Rishami, mu'ushan is eino kimavushal, at least for the purposes of Bishalakim. That's a big machlokas haposkim. And then there's a further machlokas haposkim. Should I even say not only hot smoking is mutter, but even steaming is mutter? And why is steaming such a big issue? Not because of steaming broccoli, but because canned foods, or Ashechter had some discussion about this at the end of Simon Tazayin and Guinness Egos, the tshuva about canned tuna. So he points out that the way modern canning plants work is they don't take each can and stick in a vat of boiling hot water. Every can is sealed. They put in the raw food, and they put in a little bit of liquid, water, oil, whatever it is. They leave a little bit of headspace, seal it closed, and then the cans go on a conveyor belt, and they get passed through a steam jacket. That's filled with superheated steam. There's a boiler down below that keeps heating the steam, and the steam is circulating. So you could dial up, dial down the temperature on the steam jacket. You could dial up or dial down the speed of the conveyor belt. So you can control the temperature, control the amount of time that any given can is inside the inside the steam jacket. And that's how you efficiently can foods. So the heat is being conveyed via steam. So there's a small minority of posts that say even that is ma'ushan ve'eino kemavushal. And there is a small minority of posts from whom we do not accept, who think that no canned foods require bishul yisrael. So what's the issue?
What's the difference between there's water in your pot on your flame?
Good. So what's the issue? Say as Glenn points out, we're getting dangerously close to this regular bishul, right? So the truth is, cold smoking, hot smoking, steaming. So what are the issues? The underlying issue really is the following: why is it the mu'ushan eino kemavushal? So one way to understand it, mu'ushan eino kemavushal, the same as maliach and kavash. It's cold. It's a hachsharas achila bitzonein. So that's what the Tanam or the Amoraim are pointing out. Is the bishul akum is only if there is heat in the process. That's if you would take that approach. That's the minimal approach. That would say that the only heter of mu'ushan and then kemavushal is cold smoking. Those who are, and there is a significant, there are poskim who say that, but there is a significant group of poskim who are make on hot smoking also. So how do you make on hot smoking? So the way that would involve a second hesber in ma'ushan and kemavushal, which yes, there is heat, but when you hot smoke brisket, so the hechsher of the brisket lachila is a composite of two factors. It's the heat and the acridity of the smoke. So that's as some would say, if it wasn't heat alone, but it was the heat together with the acridity of the smoke, which combined to mach shachia, that's also mutter. The tiny minority who say even kitur, even steaming is mutter, there's no acridity there. It's just steam. And as you point out, and the food is sealed in a can. And so they basically say that this is a shita dechuyel halacha, but they say the point of ma'ushan is that you're not directly in contact with the fire. That if there's a medium that's carrying the heat, if it's like a toldo sa'ur, by Hilcha Shabbos, toldo sa'ur is bishul daraisa. That's what Gemara says in Kira.
Double boiler.
Yeah, so if you're going to have something like that, so those who are mati or kitur, maybe we'd even say a double boiler is not the bishul akum. That shita is not accepted that she does not accept halacha. There are many who are open to the notion of saying, though, that hot smoking is mutter. And then finally, here's there. Although kitu were not mekalon and hot smoking is a machlokas, there is one type of sort of cooking with heat, which I think the predominant view, many poskim are mekal, and that is microwaving. Many poskim assume that microwaving should fall under the rubric of ma'ushan and ilkim avushal, because although the food gets hot, but there's no hot medium in between. It's the physics of it is that the radiation, that the microwave radiation is directly exciting the water molecules in the food, and that's raising the temperature of the food, but there's no conduction, there's no convection. There's no transfer of heat. It's being transferred as the energy is being transferred as microwave radiation, not as infrared. So that's when does it even come up? Usually microwaves used for reheating. To reheat food is anyways not a problem. So the eggs are the one, potatoes maybe, eggs. So that's why it sometimes comes up in some of the Dunkin' Donuts. Some Dunkin' Donuts make your eggs in an oven. Some Dunkin' Donuts microwave your eggs. So if they microwave your eggs, make the eggs in the oven, it says Dunkin' Donuts with Ashkacha, so that oven has to have been turned on by Yisrael. That's necessary and sufficient. The microwave, how do you have your age? What eish me'eish is there by a microwave? So if a microwave presents a bishul akum problem, that means you need the Yisrael to operate the microwave every time. So I think the predominant view in poskim is to assume that microwave is also enokim avushal. I believe there are some. I don't think it's relevant in this area. I think all the kosher Dunkin' Donuts in northern New Jersey, I believe, use direct heat for the eggs. I think there are other kosher dominoes out of this area that do use microwaves for the eggs, and I think some Vade Kashras have the approach that they're willing to assume, they assume Ikra Din, that microwaving is not Bishul Akum, but they allow, but I think they build, some of the Vadim build into the agreement with Dunkin' Donuts that they should have to allow Machmirim, that customers can ask to come behind the counter and turn on the microwave themselves.
Did you say it's not a lashon halacha?
Yes, that's the other issue. A lot of these things, those egg discs. Yeah, so that would be another argument, another snuff lahaka, is even if the microwaves are a problem, make it tasty to those eggs. The min of eggs definitely is lashon halacha, but he said the most rishonim, most poskim assume there has to be this particular presentation is lashon halacha. Yeah, pipashtas, Dunkin' Donuts egg discs are, I would say personally, entirely edible and hopefully nutritious, but arguably not Ola Shalchem Lachem. Okay.
Going back to the sushi for a minute, can you agree if the